Palm Sunday really does bring with it some troubling decisions for a pastor. Palm Sunday is really the first day of Holy Week. We celebrate and proclaim Jesus' entrance into Jerusalem by waving palm branches and having our own Sunday procession, and by singing a processional hymn with a Palm Sunday theme. Next Sunday is one of the great festivals, if not the great festival of the church year, Easter. However, many people attending Palm Sunday worship will not be attending any other Holy Week service, either because of their work schedules or simply by choice. So they will not hear the passion narrative that is the foundation of our faith before they return to sing the great Easter hymns and say, "He is risen indeed, Alleluia," in response to the pastor's call, "He is risen." An important question that the pastor faces then is whether to read and preach on the entry into Jerusalem or bypass that for the passion narrative for the folks who won't hear it this week. As you saw and heard, Concordia Publishing House has chosen to include the trial and crucifixion narrative as our gospel reading in the bulletin cover for today. In light of that, I have chosen to concentrate on the triumphant entry of Jesus into Jerusalem, also hoping that everyone will attend our Holy Week services this week. From Mark chapter 11. Now when they drew near to Jerusalem, to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the village in front of you, and immediately as you enter into it, you will find a colt tied on which no one has ever sat. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' say, 'The Lord has need of it, and will send it back here immediately.' And they went away and found a colt tied at a door outside in the street, and they untied it. And some of those standing there said to them, 'What are you doing untying the colt?' And they told them what Jesus had said, and they let them go. And they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks on it, and he sat on it. And many spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches that they had cut from the fields. And those went before, and those who followed were shouting, 'Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest.'" I don't think I've ever heard a sermon about this, and I don't believe it's ever been pointed out to me. But let me first set the scene. Jesus sets his face to head to Jerusalem, knowing what he is facing there. On the way, he stops at the Mount of Olives and sends two of his disciples ahead of him to arrange for his transportation, a colt of a donkey that no one has ever ridden before. And if anyone asks why, Jesus just tells them to say, "The Lord has need of it." We tend to think of this as the unusual part. I'm a donkey owner, let's say, and the donkey has a colt old enough to carry a person, but no one has ever ridden on it. Two men come by and say they want to borrow the colt, and I'm just going to say, "Sure, no problem, here's the keys." Well, fat chance. But this is Jesus, after all, so he makes things happen as he needs them to do. Well, this is a miracle in itself, I believe, but we miss the bigger picture here. I know I did until it was pointed out to me. This borrowed donkey is a donkey, after all. They are notorious for not being cooperative. And this reminds me of many years ago in high school, there was a group that used to come around to the local high schools and put on something they called donkey basketball. It was basketball played on top of real donkeys in the high school gym. It was usually the boys' high school basketball team pitted against a group of high school teachers. The real character of the donkeys came through very quickly. They do not cooperate. What they also didn't tell you is that some of the donkeys were trained to do the opposite of what you asked the donkeys to do. You might pull back on the reins and the donkeys would take off like a shot. Pulling right could mean that they would go left, or they could stop, or they just plain old would sit down. Well, it wouldn't take long, and this turned into something that was extremely hilarious. Of course, the owners of the donkeys would get on the donkeys, and they would know how they were trained, so they would make it look easy, and they could score baskets like nothing. At the end of the evening, your sides would hurt so bad because you're laughing so hard. But let's get back to the donkey in the Palm Sunday narrative. Donkeys are known for being uncooperative. And this one had never been ridden. So get ready for some excitement, right? But the narrative simply says, and they brought it to Jesus, throwing their cloaks on the colt. They set Jesus on it. You would have imagined a wild ride like an afternoon at the rodeo, the comic riding of an unbroken colt through the crowded streets of Jerusalem. But the narrative continues. And as he rode along, they spread their cloaks on the road. The absence of mayhem, the complete tranquility of the ride, bear witness to who the rider is. And this is what I wanted to draw your attention to. It is itself a miracle for a person to ride an unbroken donkey colt through the crowded city streets. This shows that the Son of Man riding this donkey is also the Son of God, and that he is in total control of this moment. This may echo another narrative from 1,000 years earlier. The Philistine people had captured the Ark of the Covenant in battle with the Israelites. Ever since then, God had plagued them with death and tumors because of it. It didn't take long, and you can imagine they got pretty tired of it. And they wanted to return the Ark to the Israelites, from 1 Samuel chapter 6. Now then, take and prepare a new cart and 2 milk cows on which there has never come a yoke, and yoke the cows to the cart. But take their calves home away from them, and take the ark of the Lord and place it on the cart, and put a box at its side, the figures of gold, which you are returning to him as a guilt offering. Then send it off and let it go on its way and watch. If it goes up on its way to its own land, to Beth Shemesh, then it is he who has struck us this great harm. But if not, then we shall know that it is not his hand that has struck us. It has happened to us by coincidence. The men did so and took 2 milk cows and yoked them to the cart and shut up their calves at home. And they put the ark of the Lord on the cart and the box with the golden mice and the images of their tumors. And the cows went straight in the direction of Beth Shemesh along the one highway, lowing as they went. They turned neither to the right nor to the left, and the lords of the Philistines went after them as far as the border of Beth Shemesh. So here we have 2 animals that have had their calves taken away from them. They have never pulled a cart, have never had a yoke put on them. But they obediently and willingly pull the ark of the Lord straight down the trail, veering neither to the left or to the right. Another miracle. Oh, if we could just be like those donkeys or like those milk cows. Actually, we are just exactly like that donkey. Especially like the donkeys in donkey basketball. We all have been trained individually, differently, uniquely. But if we get the wrong rider on us, we will never make any progress towards the goal, if we even know what the goal is. What is riding on your back? What is controlling your reins? What is turning your head? Is it money, sex, drugs, leisure activities, work? What, or maybe should I say who, is pulling on your lead rope? Luther, in his commentary on the Holy Week hymn, All Glory, Laud, and Honor, said that there really is only two rider choices, God or the devil. I believe that to be true. Each is telling you that they know what is best for you, how to make it to the goal. Only one of those is lying. One of them is just going along for the ride, willing to spur you on, not caring which way the turn of the bridle takes you. Why? Because the devil doesn't care. He doesn't care which one of hell's slaughterhouses you end up in, as long as you end up there. That's his goal, not yours. Now the other rider is different. God knows you, knows what the different movements of the rein means for you. His goal for you is heaven, and he is willing to guide you there, and died for you to ensure that you get there, if you let him lead you there, and not let your stubbornness and your donkey qualities get in the way. You will make it to the goal. He has promised it. In closing, I want to tell you another donkey story. This donkey was owned by Balaam, a non-Israelite prophet who would sell his skills to the highest bidder. He was asked by King Balak of Moab to curse the Israelites, but he was told by God to only pronounce blessings. So Balaam goes to see King Balak to talk it over. On the way, the donkey sees an angel with a sword drawn, blocking the path, set on killing the false prophet. The donkey veers off the path, saving Balaam from sure death. This happens three times. Each time, the donkey gets beaten by Balaam as his reward. Finally, the Lord opens the donkey's mouth, and she says, "What have I done to you that you have struck me these three times?" Balaam says to the donkey, "Because you have made a fool of me, I wish I had a sword in my hand, for then I would kill you." And the donkey says to Balaam, "Am I not your donkey, on which you have ridden all your life long to this day? Is it my habit to treat you this badly?" And he said, "No." Then the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way with his drawn sword in his hand. And he bowed down and fell on his face, and the angel of the Lord said to him, "Why have you struck your donkey these three times? Behold, I have come out to oppose you because your way is perverse before me." The donkey saw me and turned aside before me these three times. If she had not turned aside from me, surely just now I would have killed you and let her live. From Numbers chapter 22. I tell you this story because we are a lot like donkeys. We do quite a bit of work behind the scenes which people may or may not notice, but we're not very good at talking without divine intervention. We are coming up on the biggest event in the history of mankind, the crucifixion and resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We have a story to share with the world, and it shouldn't take a beating and divine intervention for us to open our mouths. So I encourage you to share the good news of Palm Sunday and of the Easter message with somebody close to you. Don't be afraid to share it. As a baptized child of God, you carry the story with you wherever you go. Thank you, Jesus, for saving sinners, donkeys like us. Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Alleluia. Amen.